When I began teaching at Chatham High School in 2010, and I first met Megan, I knew she had taught nearly every class that our school offered. Holocaust and genocide studies, detective fiction, creative writing, journalism, AP literature, and so many more. In one of our first conversations, she casually quoted Hannah Arendt. She has this enormous breadth of knowledge, truly just staggering. But it wasn't until we became friends that I came to know her humility, her compassion, her silliness, and her sense of humor. I learned that Megan was a poet, an activist, an advocate for the arts, an editor of books, a hospice volunteer. It's such a precious rarity to meet someone who is so brilliant, but also so completely unassuming, so totally welcoming, and so deeply invested in the collective community. But today I want to think about Ms. Marone in her role as a teacher. For Ms. Marone, her work in the classroom has always been about the power that language holds, that reading together, writing together, and speaking together hold. Not for A's or other scholastic accolades or awards or honor rolls or college acceptances, but for the real prize, the best and only prize that matters, which is the community and connection that learning together enables. Teaching with Ms. Marone and calling her friend are among my most cherished blessings in this life. And I feel deeply honored to be able to share some of what I've learned from her with you today. When we taught together, I loved nothing more than visiting her classroom at lunch or after school. Her classroom always had the look and feel of a beautiful museum. But unlike a museum, it was always bustling with noise and activity. Students were writing together or sharing their writing as part of the Inkblot writing club she ran. Others were discussing metaphysics and the problem of evil as part of her philosophy club. And some were just dancing, like actually dancing, or singing, or playing music, or playing a ukulele, or sharing videos with each other that they'd seen and liked. And there she always was, there in the middle of it all, usually knee to knee with a student or two, totally immersed in the conference that she was having with them about their work, that they were sharing with her. All while other students laughed at a YouTube video or tap danced at the front of the room. By now, these students are all adults, and I think most of them would tell you that it was in Ms. Marone's classroom at lunch and after school where they found a home in school, where they unearthed their talents and made friends and laughed and felt a part of things. Many of these students were teenagers who didn't quite fit into the strict parameters of appearance or values or activities or the other superficial mandates that high school can sometimes impose. And Ms. Marone kept an eye on these kids, the vulnerable ones. And she showed them by example how to live out the fullness of who they are with as much joy as honesty. Her willingness to be vulnerable herself always made other people feel safe. And it wasn't so different for me or for our fellow colleagues. I'm an introvert by nature, a quiet person, but this is not the first time I find myself speaking before an assembled audience, urged on in a way by Ms. Marone. Years ago, she and I found we had a common passion for the natural world, for environmentalism, and I expressed frustration that in the school where we taught, this issue didn't seem to get the attention it needed. Why don't you tell other teachers why you care so much about the issue? Why you think it's so important, she suggested. People would really listen to you. Nothing about my position in the school at the time suggested that that would be true. I'd only been there a few years. But somehow, I believed her, because I felt that she really listened to me, and I knew she really did believe that I had good ideas to share. And so I did speak to my colleagues, together with Ms. Marone, on more than one occasion. And so many programs and initiatives at our school have grown out of that initial step that I wouldn't bore you with the list of them here today. And it didn't end there. Why don't we run a workshop for teachers about the spiritual and psychological benefits of writing? Ms. Marone asked me one fall. Who's going to come to that, I wondered. But again, something deep down whispered to me that people would come. And they did. And that day in our little workshop, led by Ms. Marone, a design and technology teacher began a book-length collection of love letters to his wife. A PE teacher broke down in tears and shared with us about a recent loss she had endured and wrote the most moving piece about it. Teachers from kindergarten to 12th grade came together as fellow humans, not just as colleagues, that morning. I was in awe of her gifts as a teacher. Why don't we start a book club? Why don't you get your supervisor credential? Why don't we start giving talks about climate change in the community? Why don't you write an article about what you're doing in the classroom? Her questions kept coming. Ms. Marone has the kind of brilliance that shines so bright that it illuminates and lights the sparks that we all have in us. When I think about start trying something new, or about taking a creative risk, it's her voice I hear whispering up to me from deep within my soul that says, try, that says, you have gifts to share. And I suspect that many of you here today can hear that voice too, if you're listening. Education for Ms. Marone has always been about love. A love for her students, for caring for the most vulnerable, and for what education makes possible, for how it enables us to see into ourselves and beyond ourselves, into the lives and experiences of others across time and space and culture, to discover what was always true, that we are all on this journey here on Spaceship Earth together. As Ms. Marone always says, quoting her beloved Carl Sagan, we are made of star stuff. She sees magic in us. She sees the universe in us. And her encouragement never ended, and it hasn't ended for any of us, even now. If there's one thing Ms. Marone has always asked of her students, it's to question binaries. To question the simple read that things are either this or they are that. In the spirit of celebrating the and the also, rather than the either or the or, what we English teachers often call the paradox, I'll say this. Ms. Marone is missing, and she's also right here today with all of us. Imprinted on our souls, as all of our best teachers are. And adopting her ethic of care, that sacred code that Ms. Marone's whole life embodies, is one way to honor her as our teacher and to fill our own brief time here on this planet with joy and with meaning. Earlier in the year, Ms. Marone sent me this message. It was just a text, but like all of her texts, it was pretty poetic. She said, "Isn't it mind-blowing to consider how amazing school systems can be? The creativity, the honoring of growth, solemn respect, and a time of silence as people pass through stages and relationships change. Like school could be, and maybe always is, despite all odds, the beating heart of a civilization." I will continue to pray for Ms. Marone's safe return to her family, to her friends, and to her classroom, because we all have so much more to learn from her.